2 days since somebody allegedly tried to kill Donald Trump again. And you're here at the podium in the White House briefing room calling him a threat. How many more assassination attempts on Donald Trump until the president and the vice president and you pick a different word to describe Trump other than threat?
Peter, if anything from this administration, I actually completely disagree with the premise of your question, the question that you're asking. It is also incredibly dangerous in the way that you're asking it, because American people are watching. And to say that from an administration who has consistently condemned political violence, from an administration where the president called the former president and was thankful, grateful that he was okay, from an administration who has called out January 6th, called out the attack of Paul Pelosi, called out and said we need to lower the temperature after the Butler incident, and now for you to make that kind of comment in your question, because your question involved a comment and a statement, and that is also incredibly dangerous.
It's dangerous to ask questions about obvious things. That's a really unbelievable soundbite. That was yesterday, like shortly after we were off air, when Peter Doocy was asking KJP about this whole situation, the rhetoric. And it's true. I mean, what is being asked here isn't anything that is that average Americans haven't thought of. I mean, it's true. When are they going to temper their rhetoric with everything? When are Democrats going to stop referring to their opponent as, you know, an existential threat to liberty? You ask questions as to, well, why is it that there are people that, you know, think that Trump is such a dangerous person? This is how Democrats talk. This is what Democrats have been saying about all of this. Welcome to the show, Dana Lash with you. Top of our first hour. I've got a lot of updates about this because this guy was apparently flagged by not one, but two federal agencies, and then they ignored it. This is a new piece where this I'm not going to say his name, this attempted assassin, he went to, again, I still want to know how this guy afforded the plane trips to Ukraine and everything else. He was a broke roofer whose house was like falling apart. And he came through Honolulu over a year ago, from Ukraine. And apparently Customs and Border Patrol flagged him and interviewed him and apparently recommended him for further investigation by Department of Homeland Security. And Red State had a piece on it as well as the New York Post, because they apparently they were aware of his travels, but they were also very suspicious because apparently he was like talking weird. And I kind of want to know what that means. Like, they said that he had been recruiting fighters and all this other stuff, just like really wild stuff, the stuff that he had been saying. And that's what apparently in the interview with Customs and Border Patrol, because when you come through Customs, they're always like, oh, you know, what have you been up to? You know, where have you been? Are you traveling for, you know, business or pleasure? You got anything to declare? Things like that. And he apparently was, I guess he said, yeah, you know, I was like recruiting fighters and stuff for, you know, Ukraine and all this. That's what I was doing. I was just, you know, recruiting stuff. That's apparently what he said. Apparently that's according to the news here. That's apparently what he said, that he was recruiting. And he gave these agents a business card that identified him as the director of this group called the International Volunteer Center. And the group apparently had said that they had ties like in Syria, Pakistan, Israel, all this stuff. And this is the stuff that he's doing. This is like what he's telling these Customs and Border Patrol people. And they said that he'd went there for 3 months to help these soldiers, et cetera, and to recruit. I mean, wouldn't that immediately? I mean, yeah, absolutely. That's going to immediately stick out to any government agency when you're saying that you're going and recruiting fighters. I mean, my gosh, you know what? If my little travel bottle of hand lotion is going to trigger something. If you get, 3.4 ounces? If it's over 3.4 ounces, then you get in trouble. And then they put it in a big trash can with all the other potentially explosive material, which is a completely safe thing to do, you know, totally safe. That just makes all the sense in the world. But that's apparently what, I mean, I'm just shocked at that. Are we shocked at this? So he was flagged already. So that's number one. Number two is he had predatory behavior. He had predatory behavior, and he apparently, apparently they were warned already. The U.S. authorities were warned already about his predatory behavior. TMZ has the story that, I really don't want to read this one. He apparently exposed himself to a woman while he was working. He did that. He exposed himself to a woman while he was working, and there's like photograph. Oh gosh, God help us all.
Is he related to Jeffrey Toobin?
You know, that's a great question.
Seems like that sort of science needs to be chased down.
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, I think we should look into that because that's something Toobin would do. They said that this woman found him on Facebook. I guess she was doing like a home improvement thing. Found him on Facebook and was paying him $4,000 for a 4-day home construction job. And she said that he was a complete pervert. She said he was a complete and total pervert. And that he, flashed her. He flashed her. I don't know. It's amazing. All of this stuff that this paints this crazy picture of this guy. So he was flagged by Department of Homeland Security. He had predatory behavior. All of this stuff. I don't know. This is this guy. How, and in addition to his 2002 arrest for apparently having an explosive, how in the hell, again, did this guy get as far as he did? I would love to know this. I would love to know it. Kamala Harris was asked about Secret Service protection for Trump. Audio soundbite one. Listen to this.
You have full confidence in the Secret Service to protect all of you?
I do.
You feel safe, you and your family?
I do. But, I mean, you can go back to Ohio. Not everybody has Secret Service. And there are far too many people in our country right now who are not feeling safe. I mean, I look at Project 2025.
I'm sorry, what?
I look at, you know, like the Don't Say Gay laws coming out of Florida. Members of the LGBTQ community don't feel safe right now. Immigrants or people with an immigrant background don't feel safe right now. Women don't feel safe right now.
What the hell does this have to do with someone shooting a Trump again? What does that have to do with that? Anybody have an idea? No. Anybody? I mean, am I missing something, Kane?
No.
So she's asked about Secret Service protection for Trump after he's nearly assassinated a second time. First time he got shot in the head. The second time the guy was poking his rifle out of the bush. And she answers about Ohio 2025 and Alphabet. That is so sad that it's viewed as a, like, you're giving something to your opponent if you express sadness over something that they went through. Isn't that weird? That's how tribal it is. She, by the way, and we're going to talk more about the latest, what we're finding from this attempted assassin. I'm looking at my notes on the second wave of pager explosions. So they had a second wave of pager explosions. This was walkie-talkies and apparently even the security boxes and at in doorways. They said that they were in the Hezbollah strongholds in Beirut and the Bekaa Valley, and they said the explosions were created by networked devices and possibly walkie-talkies. BBC began tracking the reports, and they have images of smoke plumes. This is, I mean, yesterday you had pager side. Now it's handheld radios targeted in these latest attacks. They apparently were detonated in some fashion, and Hezbollah has warned all of its personnel to stop using communications devices. They said Hezbollah said stop it because they said that some of them had lithium batteries, some of them didn't. Some of them were connected to the internet. They were trying to figure out exactly what's happening. And they also added that the terror group was in a new phase and punishment was coming. A new phase? Like, what do you mean a new phase? A new phase of getting your balls blown off? I mean, what do you mean a new phase? That's exactly what's happening. I mean, that's just, you know, balls to the wall has a whole new meaning now after pager side and now this second wave. So they, I mean, what is Hezbollah going to do? Maybe Hezbollah should look into how they got these devices, because here's the thing. This that I have. So I'm going to pull this up. This was Reuters. Apparently, and we don't know all of the details of this, and I don't expect Mossad to be like, this is exactly what we did step by step. Like, this isn't, you know, beauty Instagram influencer. Apparently the pagers were made in Taiwan, which just adds another delicious layer onto this. They said they were Taiwan made, and apparently, I guess months earlier, Israel got a hold of a shipment of them, and that's what ultimately, and then they were able to add some explosive material in some of them. They would have had to put them back in a way that Hezbollah would not have known what was happening, so that they couldn't see that they had been tampered with. And also, apparently, Reuters notes that the acquisition of these pagers, according to, well, a couple, I think this was also mentioned by CNN, that it was from a new vendor. You know, you're a terrorist group. They're not the smartest people in the world. And they decide that they're going to switch vendors out at a very important time. You know, totally makes sense, right? You're talking about your entire communications infrastructure, and you're going to go with a new vendor that you haven't really vetted. Totally cool. Go ahead. That's why they're terrorists and dumb. And that's why they all got blowed up. We got more on the way. I've got more about that. I have already the stupidest story for you of the year. It is the dumbest story that you're going to read all year. I am not going to let you down. It really is. It is about a gender fluid Datsun. Not making it up. And our partners over at Tax Network USA. You have 88,000 new agents in the official government theft agency, the GTS, aka the IRS. They've been sending out millions of pay-up notices. You don't have to face this bureaucratic bullying alone. Tax Network USA is here to help you. If you owe back taxes or have unfiled returns, they can help you face them, because they understand how the IRS works. They have proven successes. I mean, they have a track record at Tax Network USA of saving clients over $1 billion in back taxes. They've showcased their expertise and their reliability in tax relief. They have skilled professionals. They're going to make sure that you get the most favorable outcome, regardless of whether or not you owe $10,000 or $10 million. They can handle any situation. Doesn't matter if you're able to pay or on a fixed income. Tax Network USA can provide tailored solutions to help you resolve your tax burdens effectively. So don't let the IRS control your life. Empower yourself with Tax Network USA support and take charge of your financial future. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana, and they can help you resolve your burdens once and for all. Work with a company you can trust. TNUSA.com/Dana.
Have you ever noticed it's only called a recession after we're already in it or past it? Economists are always in search of a recession, like Leonard Nimoy. If they find one, it's already too late. Always be prepared by putting money away and investing accordingly. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Man, this is crazy. So Elon Musk's Neuralink brain chip has received FDA's breakthrough device status, and it could actually help blind people see again. That's crazy. they get to wear, like, it's just the chips. So you don't get to wear, like, the super cool glasses, right? Like you would wear if you're Geordi on Star Trek, although, like,
wait,
LeVar Burton's D-bag.
Huh? Could that chip blow up?
Totally.
Oh, no.
Or you could wear, like, the band if you're a psyker in Warhammer. Anyway, it has the breakthrough device. I don't even know what that means. I just think it's cool. It's called Blindsight. That is the coolest. It's, like, the coolest thing ever. Like, that's just wild. So they said that the chip could actually help you see again. I mean, this is wild. I love technology sometimes. Oh, no, this is what I don't know. We're going to talk more about this later on in the broadcast. So Gavin Newsom has signed a bill. It says regulating AI. Well, it's a twofer. It's a bill that touched on the regulation of AI, but it also was a bill that is banning even parody, like AI parody. So he signed two bills into law. One of them was about the use of AI digital replicas of performers into law. And it also gets into the use of it politically. So he was saying that he, because of, you know, stuff like videos that are clearly fake, that are making fun of Kamala Harris, that would be, he would outlaw them in California. And he's been bragging about it on social media. So we're going to talk more about this because they're trying to act like, oh, no, it's just this that's going to help out the entertainment industry. And it's a lot more than that. Also, please let this be like a bunch of aliens. I really want to get invaded by aliens. I just feel like if Jesus isn't going to come anytime soon, I mean, he's coming back. But if it's not going to be soon, then let it be SMOD or aliens in the meantime, because, you know, I hate most people. They said an oval-shaped UFO was spotted hovering over Mexico. I hope it's zapping people up. The footage shows that this UFO, it's probably going to be something like a stupid Chinese spy balloon. So boring. They said the alleged flying saucer sightings have been reported in a couple of different neighborhoods. They said they look like a sky lantern floating across the sky. That's what some think it is. Kane and I literally gave the same look just now. Just now we did. Let's see. So they're also saying omnipresent AI cameras will ensure good behavior. This is where I do think that we should replicate the French and just tear down cameras that we don't like. I'm totally fine with this. We've got a lot more in store. You don't want to miss. We're at the bottom of this first hour. Back after this. So burn a gun. It's not a gun. I mean, it's a shape like a gun. It's a non-firearm firearm, the burn a gun. And look, I would love to live in a kitty and sunshine world where I've got peppermint streets and the clouds are made of cotton candy. Woohoo! I would love to live in that kind of world where I could bring my gun anywhere and everywhere because people had more than one brain cell to rub together and they didn't react and, you know, with horror. But we don't. And I have a lot of friends that live and work in areas where they're just basically, they're just Marxists. Washington, D.C., New York, they can't carry half the places that they have to go to for work. So not everybody's privileged in that respect. So for those of you who don't want to be statistics, it's good to diversify your self-defense options. And the Byrna Gun's here to help you do that. They've got a model. The most popular model is the Byrna SD. I mean, you can go to their website and look at everything that they have, but Byrna SD is what I know everybody's been getting, the people that I know. It's an effective deterrent. I mean, there's no waiting period, no background checks. It's legal in all 50 states, and it is good for those areas where you're restricted from defending yourself, but you don't want to be a statistic. So Byrna Gun doesn't care about the stupid gun-free zone signs. I mean, you could just have it shipped right to your house, and it provides you with another option for self-defense when the state or somebody tries to limit how you're able to protect yourself. You can learn more about the Byrna Gun and compare it. I mean, when you look at stun guns, you got one or two shots. Byrna, you got five rounds. It shoots these chemical irritant projectiles. You got five rounds of it. So learn more about the Byrna Gun at Byrna.com/Dana and get 10% off your purchase. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, first of all, yes, I am a gun owner, and Tim Walz is a gun owner, and we're not trying to take anybody's guns away from them. But we do need an assault weapons ban. Assault weapons are designed to kill a lot of human beings quickly. I'm going to get to it.
Yes.
And have no place on the streets of a civil society. We need universal background checks, which, to your point about handguns, is about saying that it is just reasonable to want reasonable gun safety laws that say we should do background checks, that we ought to know. It's just reasonable. You might want to know before someone can buy a lethal weapon if they've been found by a court to be a danger to themselves or others. You might just want to know.
And respectfully, and we do understand that.
But you're asking yes. about...
I'm asking specifically about handguns, because many of those handguns aren't purchased in places.
Universal background checks apply to handguns.
Kudos to this. I can't believe I'm saying this.
Yes. They do.
But in many instances, those handguns aren't even bought lawfully. Yes.
Which is why I also have been very adamant for years. In fact, I myself protested at a gun show probably 10, 15 years ago, about the gun show loophole and why we need to close that. Because what ends up happening is that gun shows at flea markets, gun dealers are not, under existing law in the past,
that's not
required to
accurate.
Register.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe I'm saying this, though. This is the National Association for Black Journalists, and kudos to that. I don't know who it was, the moderator, whoever that was there. Kudos to that woman for she pressed that question. She won't let her go. She was asking some tough questions, and I'm impressed. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, Channel 3047 DirecTV. The chat's at Rumble. You can find us on X as well. So her answer is embarrassing. First off, let me go back. The assault weapons ban didn't ban rifles. The assault weapons ban, and I know some people get aggravated when I point this out, but I have to clarify it. They get aggravated because they're like, don't, because then they'll actually want to ban the rifles. Don't. But it didn't ban a rifle. It banned cosmetic features. If you had three or more cosmetic features attached to a rifle that somehow made it lethal-er, which is stupid and inaccurate, that's number one. And number two, it did absolutely nothing. That's a Rand Institute and a separate Department of Justice survey. There have been a number of surveys on it. The New York Times had a piece on it. It had absolutely no impact on the homicide, gun homicide rate, which is predominantly done by handguns that are obtained on the black market. And number three, with relation to mass casualty incidents, specifically school shootings, it did nothing to stop school shootings. In fact, Columbine, one of the worst ones, took place under the assault weapons ban, which sunset in 04. So, and it had no impact on crime. In the meantime, when you have restorative justice and a breakdown of law and order, you will see felonious acts done in possession of a firearm carried out because there's no deterrent. She didn't address that. And I like how she was pressed to specifically talk about handguns, because that's what the left does. Whenever they're asked about handguns, they try to switch back into what really are modern sporting rifles, just semi-automatic rifles that are painted black and some people think are shootier because they're tactical looking, which is dumb. But she's wrong on buying handguns at that her intimation that somehow the crime rate is spurred from people purchasing handguns at gun shows. That's an absolute lie. Absolute, flat-out lie. You can't buy a handgun across state lines and then bring it back. You have to run it through your FFL. What you're talking about isn't a loophole. It's literally a criminal act that is noted in the federal statute, 18 U.S.C. 19, the alphabet, all the subsections, lists everything from selling to prohibited possession, the whole nine yards. And it also covers in that federal statute whether or not you can purchase a firearm in another state or wherever at a gun show. I mean, it talks about who gets licensed, what constitutes the requirement for you must get licensed. It covers all of that. There is no ground that is unregulated in this. And this is the lie that Democrats have been trying to push for eons now. There's no lie there's nothing that's not regulated. She can't answer about criminals buying handguns on the black market. So she goes into this ditzy ramble about gun show loopholes. There, a criminal action is not a loophole. If you're drunk driving, that's not a loophole where it pertains to automobile law. That is a criminal act. Just because you can do it does not mean it's allowed. It does not mean that it's not a criminal action. So people who purchase their guns on the black market, and according to Barack Obama's own DOJ, over like 86% of it is the black market. And that's where all of these felons who were interviewed for two different surveys from the DOJ, they went to state pens and they were asking all of these felons, where did you get your guns? And all of them were saying that they took them off the black, they bought them off the black market. Second to buying it off the black market was they stole them. The third was that it was a straw purchase, meaning that someone who could purchase a gun bought a gun and then sold it to someone who was a prohibited possessor. That was the third and much lower on the list than buying it on the black market. And you don't have to take my word for it. I actually read the Department of Justice survey that Eric Holder under Barack Obama so helpfully came out with when they did all of this back in before 2016. It was like 2014 when they came out with this. So this is where these this is where criminals are getting their guns. And furthermore, it's driven the homicide involving firearms is driven by what? Gangbangers, right? It's gangbangers. And it's drug deals and gangs. That's it. That's what's driving it. And as it pertains to youth, it's 18 to 21 year olds that are or 18 to 20 year olds that are doing it. That's why the CDC wanted to up and include 18 and over in their definition as children, so they could use that gang activity as a way to scare families into thinking that their kids could be a potential statistic in a school shooting because of what these gangbangers were doing. That's why they included those figures. They increased the age of children up till the age of 20. That's what the CDC did, so they could fearmonger. That's ridiculous. But her answer here is stupid. She starts going, well, you know, I protested at a gun show. What in the hell does that? I mean, the questioner was completely unimpressed with her answer. She was entirely unimpressed. She's like, well, you know, these gun show loopholes, we're going to close. But gangbangers aren't getting, drug dealers aren't getting their guns at gun shows. I've purchased guns at gun shows. I purchased a butt ton of guns at gun shows. I've had to wait for my gun to come back, and I've been in my own state and I've been in different states. And guess what? I had to undergo a background check every single time. The only time that you do not have to undergo a background check is if it pertains to your own, if it's a rifle, you're in your own, you're in your state of residence. You're legal to purchase. The person to whom you're selling is legal to purchase because it's treated as your private property. If it's a handgun, they have to be legal in your state of residence. You can't be taking the stuff that over the state line, though. And yet that has to go through an FFL, meaning your federal firearms licensee, which is a retailer. And considering the way, and I've talked about this before, the Biden DOJ has been weaponizing the ATF against federal firearms licensees, so much as stripping them of their licenses in perpetuity, if there's so much as a grammatical error, they are very keen to not do anything to jeopardize their licenses because the ATF isn't very keen to reissue it once it's been pulled. So these people don't want to jeopardize their livelihood and all their retail, their products, etc., by selling to someone that they might even think could be a prohibited possessor. FFLs have that discretion regardless of whether or not you seem to be legal to purchase or not. They all have that discretion. In fact, that's how a couple of these mass shootings most recently, particularly the one in Sandy Hook, he was denied initially. He was denied purchase initially. He tried to go and purchase at an FFL and he was denied. They have that discretion. So what she's claiming here is just simply not true. She has no idea about guns and she doesn't know anything about gun law. And I get it that there are some politicians that maybe they're not gun owners, or maybe they've never hunted or they've never shot a gun or whatever. But that doesn't excuse you from the obligation of knowing the law, particularly if you're going to speak to it. And even more particularly, if you're going to legislate on it, you have an obligation to the people who have invested in you, their authority to represent them at the highest levels of government, to know what the ever loving hell you're talking about before you start lecturing to people about it or attempting to legislate on it. I mean, these people wouldn't appreciate, you know, if they went into your place of business and started trying to do your job without knowing about it. So, you know, you can't really go around and have them have this happen in reverse. So that was at the National Association of Black Journalists. I'm still like super impressed with the line of questioning there. I really was, because it's something that, you know, but she's make no mistake. She's trying to play it to the middle right now, but she won't. She's not going to. Now, I wanted to share this story with you. It's a culture story, I promised. I hate everything. How does a dog gender fluid? That's a rhetorical question, because it's not. Dogs are not gender fluid, okay? They're not. So there's this gender fluid dog. Well, the owner says that the dog is gender fluid. The dog is not gender fluid. Yeah, the dog is not gender fluid.
So the owner's mentally ill. Okay, got it.
Yeah, the owner's stupid. It is a gender fluid dress wearing Dachshund named Pablo. There's apparently a fight with these this lesbian couple. Is it a lesbian couple? Lesbian social worker Lizzie Pitt was accused of voicing transphobic views. Oh, it's her colleague, who is Pablo's owner. Pablo identified on a Zoom call. This gets dumber. On a Zoom call, identified his Dachshund as gender fluid and then had the animal in a dress. This is animal abuse. Pablo is named after a Brazilian drag queen of the same name who campaigned against Bolsonaro. The Dachshund has its own Instagram account where you can watch its owner abuse it by putting dresses on it and saying that it's gender fluid. And so he apparently was talking about this and someone said, your dog is male. And then he said the group was silent and shocked and he felt it was an attack on his personal choices and his lived experience. If you get on a Zoom call and you say that your dog is gender fluid, you're a female copulatory organ and you ought to be relentlessly and publicly ridiculed until you feel as though that you must exclude yourself from polite society and go hide under a rock somewhere until you can behave better amongst people who clearly have more brain cells than you. But the thing is that he literally decided to litigate it. Say they had a legal battle and taxpayers ended up paying. And this is in Britain because, of course, they ended up paying like £63,000. He was so butthurt over this that he literally litigated it. This is in Britain. This guy was so upset that someone said, your dog is a boy. Your dog isn't gender fluid. Your dog doesn't have the same brain damage you do. That he decided to litigate it. This guy decided to litigate because his dog can't be. Your dog is a dude. He's got a willy. He's a dude. And the dog doesn't. The dog eats feces. It doesn't and licks his own butt. It's not going to. It doesn't identify as gender fluid. That's a fake thing. Now you're forcing your damage onto animals, which is animal abuse. Now the woman, Lizzie, had to go and meet with the bosses, and she and another lesbian colleague apparently were, do only lesbians work here? They were reported for their, quote, really aggressive tone, and they were both deemed to be non-exclusive and transphobic. This guy really had his feelings hurt. So they fought back, and then she accused him of harassment, and then she ended up winning. She ended up winning and recovering all of her legal costs because she suffered, she said, because of her beliefs. So this is wild. They said that this is just wild that this is happening. So yeah, that's an actual story. Can you believe this? Kane, this is where we are.
Yeah.
I feel like if I was the judge in this case and someone came up to me and the case that I had to decide was whether or not this dude had his feelings hurt because some lesbian criticized his fake status dog, I feel like I'd be like, you know what? You're guilty. Firing squad. And they'd be like, what? No. You're guilty of just being annoying. Death by firing squad. Take him right now. Take his dog too. Save the dog. Take that guy.
I mean, this is exactly what the left has created. This is their creation. We're watching like the bubbling over of their creation.
I hate everything. This is where we are at in life. All right, we've got more on the way. I told you this was a real story. I tweeted about it or put it up on, is it tweet? Can you say tweet? We need to find, like, I posted about it on X, I guess. In an era where daily election headlines and political turmoil can create a sense of unrest, having a peaceful retreat is more important than ever. Cozy Earth's exceptional products can be instrumental in helping you establish a sanctuary within your own home. Their sheet set is a standout favorite of mine. You get unmatched comfort and a nice soothing touch. You can create your own sanctuary with Cozy Earth's best-selling bamboo sheet set made from 100% premium viscose from bamboo. The softness of their sheets and the quality of their materials will truly elevate your space and turn your bedroom into a cozy haven. And if you're seeking to transform your living environment into a serene escape, Cozy Earth also offers the perfect solution to create that tranquil home that you've been longing for. With a 10-year guarantee, these sheets are a long-lasting investment in quality. So get the ultimate in comfort and up to 40% off at CozyEarth.com/Dana and use code Dana. Don't forget to tell them that I sent you in the post-purchase survey and you can get free socks. That's CozyEarth.com/Dana and use code Dana to get up to 40% off.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
House Democrats are committed to putting politics over people.
You mean like a guillotine? Is that what they're talking about?
What?
Just, I'm curious.
We got to play that again. Can you play that again real quick?
House Democrats are committed to putting politics over people.
She's literally reading that. She's reading it.
Was that? Okay.
That's a moment of honesty. This moment of honesty.
I think she got that confused. Democrat Rep Hayes. I think she got it a little confused there, methinks, right?
Or are they just disclosing like they're supposed to?
They're being honest.
Like evil is supposed to.
You know, sometimes they're accidentally right by accident.
Like a blind squirrel or a broken clock?
Yeah, yeah, to that extent. That's totally it. That's totally it. Oh, boy. All right, coming up, this is what we got on deck. Cool. Illegal immigration in Ohio. So Mike DeWine's like, yeah, all the bomb threats were fake. And also, stop talking about this problem with the illegal immigrants from Haiti that we have that are real. But don't talk about it. I mean, why would you? So we got to discuss that. Also, speaking of immigration elsewhere, Sweden is offering they're to pay people to leave. These nations are about having it. And I don't know how the EU persists with this whole free movement fantasy, when you have Germany and you have other countries, Sweden, who was the other one? You had, it was Belgium. All of these other countries are like, okay, enough is enough. It's too much. So what's the EU to do? We're also going to get into the shutdown. Democrats in the IVF bill. They're trying to argue that Republicans block legislation, but I'm going to tell you what Democrats are wanting taxpayers to do with their IVF push. And why did they just block another IVF bill? Yes. Why did they just do that? We'll talk about that as well. Stick with us.
Hi, I'm Matthew, a theater major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arn with a Constitution Minute.
The great Abraham Lincoln described the Constitution as a picture or frame of silver built to guard or protect an apple of gold. This apple of gold was the Declaration of Independence and its principle of equal rights for all. This principle of equal rights, Lincoln said, clears the path for all, gives hope to all, and by consequence, enterprise and industry to all. There are many today who seek to limit or distort this great principle by employing a distorted definition of equality, an equality of condition or outcome, regardless how people live their lives. This distortion, if generally accepted, will lead to an America less prosperous and less free.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
This Constitution Minute was furnished by Hillsdale College.
With respect to former Trump in particular, should he get the same level of security as sitting presidents? There's now been bipartisan calls for that.
So the United States Secret Service has indeed enhanced the former president's security posture so that he is receiving a level of security commensurate with the fact that he is a former president and on the campaign trail. And so his alignment with the security posture of our president is in fact quite approximate.
That all you got to do is just say, yeah, it's the same.
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand why he had to have that big, long.
He's used to filibustering in front of Congress.
Yeah. I mean, it's just whenever people take a really long time to answer a basic question like that, either they don't know what they're talking about or they don't. That's not true. and they're trying to make it sound like it's true, right? By giving you way that, you know, tons of information. So this is, that was Alejandro Mayorkas, who was saying that Trump is getting the same type of security. He's getting the same level of security that that Biden is getting now. And that was a question that he was asked about that recently. Well, just yesterday, actually, a press conference. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch with you. The change, I don't know if anything has changed. How many hearings have we had? Hearings, how many congressional inquiries? Now we have the second. I don't know. And he's doing a big rally in Long Island tonight. Yeah, it's Long Island. They already had people showing up today. And they apparently they've got all like he's got a counter sniper team. They've got all kinds of folks there for it. So he's getting, you know, so he's finally getting that. What gets me about this is you find out, like, if they, you know, for instance, like parents at school board meetings, my gosh, they, you know, FBI was right there. If you were a parent that spoke up at one of those school board meetings, like particularly in Virginia, and they didn't like you, you were challenging the narrative, you get tagged with a domestic terrorist label and they know everything about you and they're showing up. And we all saw that video footage. This guy was crazy and there was still... Is it because they just don't, because it's a Republican? I don't know. I hate to think that our agencies are so, are staffed with such tribally partisan people that it affects their job performance and how they apply or how they dole out security. I don't know. I think that, you know, the language with this and the way the Democrats talk about it and the way that they, like Kamala Harris, she had said, she had one statement, audio soundbite 4, this was like the only other thing that she had said. Listen to this.
President Biden spoke to former President Trump after the attempt on his life this weekend. Have you spoken to him?
I have.
And earlier today, I assume?
Yes.
How'd that go? You want to give us some intel?
Sure. I checked on to see if he was okay. Yeah. And I told him what I have said publicly. There's no place for political violence in our country.
I checked to see if he was okay. That seems like the least you could say. Well, political violence has no place in our country. And that's it. She tweeted that, and that's the only thing that she said. And then she goes into, starts talking about who knows what. She delves into something else. I don't know. Am I just being too picky with her statement? Because that's not enough. That's all she says. She just says the same canned thing over and over again. Yeah. She's part of the problem. Biden's part of the problem. You know, the Democrats are part of the problem with the language that they use, but they want to police everyone else's language. We were telling you about Hillary Clinton thinking that, oh, well, we don't have, we need to start jailing people for misinformation. This woman was the number one misinformation in chief, 2016. She literally worked with the Kremlin. They hired a disgraced British spy. They went through a third-party foreign agent that was lobbying on behalf of Russian oligarchs, and they used this Fusion GPS, this foreign agent, to launder stories in the press that they then used to try to justify spying on people. I mean, they were the people that she created the birther movement. Hillary Clinton's attorney, Philip Berg, was the guy who first began the birther stuff with Barack Obama. That was back when she first ran against him in 08. People forget that. They let it slide because she's Democrat. They forget all of that. No, she, that was her. That was Kamala Harris or Hillary Clinton. So Harris says she spoke with Trump. She checked to see if do you really think she spoke with him? I feel like Trump would have said that if she had. Do you honestly think that she spoke with him? I don't think so either. I don't think so either. By the way, speaking of speech, here's her VP, Tim Walz, audio soundbite 8. when, I mean, this sounds exactly like what Hillary Clinton was saying the other day. Listen to this.
I think we need to push back on this. There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation or hate speech, and especially around our democracy.
Yes, there is. It's called the First Amendment, and hate speech is subjective. If you simply say that a man can't be a woman, that's defined as hate speech now, which isn't hate speech. It's scientific observable fact, but it's being reclassified as quote unquote hate speech. And misinformation is not, I mean, we have libel, we have defamation, we have slander. There are open legal pathways to litigate that for speech that is unprotected. And if you dislike someone's speech, take one of those pathways. But you can't sit here and ban people from expression. That's an anti-First Amendment. That's anti-First Amendment, period. That's it. These people are the purveyors of misinformation. They were the purveyors of misinformation back in 2016, back in 2008. They were the purveyors of misinformation all the way back when they said George W. Bush didn't win the election. They were the purveyors of misinformation all the way back in 2008 when Hillary Clinton was saying that Barack Obama was actually born overseas and he wasn't really here, and she had her attorney, Phil Berg, go out there and plant all these stories. That was misinformation. It was misinformation in 2016 when they were saying that Donald Trump was a puppet of the Kremlin, and that his son was meeting with representatives of the Kremlin, and all of that stuff was fomented by an actual agency that was lobbying on behalf of Russian oligarchs to get these sanctions, the Magnitsky Act, overturned against them. They're purveyors of misinformation. I mean, for Hillary Clinton, it even goes all the way back when she was the first lady in the White House. And remember the quote unquote bimbo eruption? That's what she called all the women who were coming forward to talk about her husband sexually harassing them. So she is the purveyor of all of it, of misinformation. So to hear her and these other Democrats talk about arresting people, well, I mean, you would be saying that from inside of a jail cell if what she wanted was already put into practice. A few things. Democrats and the shutdown and IVF and all this stuff. So I noticed this morning, I always like to look and see what narratives are being pushed in the morning. And everyone's, you know, we were talking about the Hezbollah. They had the second wave. We talked a little bit about that as well. But I've been noticing this push about Republicans and IVF. And Kane and I were talking about IVF on break. I think you either believe that life begins at conception and you don't believe in and you don't apply whether or not your convenience comes into play in someone else's life, or you don't. Because when it's a question of convenience, that's an argument that people who are pro-abortion use. Now, that being said, Trump has said that he's not going to ban IVF, and that there was a bill. Rick Scott was one of the guys behind it. There was a bill that was introduced, and it was about using the health savings accounts, the HSAs, to have that be applicable towards IVF costs, right? And that's one of the things that they were talking about doing, because they really want to use, they're trying to use IVF as a political football. That's why Tim Walz lied about having done IVF. He didn't do IVF. But that's why, one of the reasons he was lying about it. And so there was legislation in Alabama that had to do with IVF. And then there's legislation that was proposed federally. And Democrats, there was the IVF with HSAs Act that Rick Scott had introduced in the Senate, and Democrats blocked it. Now, Democrats, they want to force increase premiums so that everyone, through insurance, through forced price controls, through insurance, those increases, so that they cover IVF. Democrats are trying to do to IVF what they've done to student loans. They want the government to pay for everything. And by the government, it's you, it's me, it's all of us. And that there's a difference between supporting creating a family and introducing life and paying for other people's choices. There is a huge difference between the two. And I find it evil when people conflate them and they argue that because you don't want to pay for their choices, that means you oppose what it is that they're choosing. When in reality, it's you oppose having to pay for what they are choosing. No one's talking about you choosing it, but you not having the blank check to pursue it does not mean that someone opposes it. And that's what Democrats have been trying to conflate for some time now. And that's what they've been trying to do with Republicans. And with the HSAs for IVF, this is the second time that Democrats have blocked this sort of proposal. They also have blocked twice birth control over the counter. Republicans have proposed that a couple of times, and Democrats have blocked it every time. And Planned Parenthood was the greatest beneficiary of that. You can't force insurance companies to cover IVF and then increase everyone else's insurance rates. And that's exactly what Democrats propose to do. That is what Republicans have opposed previously. It's not a debate over IVF. That's a separate debate over what this is. This is a debate over who pays for it. But Democrats, again, per usual, want you to think that if you oppose jacking up everyone else's insurance rates to force insurance companies to cover IVF, if you oppose paying a higher premium, even though you are never going to do IVF yourself, if you oppose having to pay more, it means you oppose IVF. You know how you can just switch out that formula with anything? That's like me saying, well, if you oppose paying higher taxes so that we all get free guns, you oppose the Second Amendment. Now, it's kind of a Mott and Bailey argument. I could propose that, and there are Second Amendment practitioners who would absolutely oppose that. And then I could play Democrat and then accuse them of opposing the Second Amendment. That's exactly what this argument is. Just because you don't want to pay for it doesn't mean that you oppose something. It means you oppose paying for it, which is a separate issue from the something. So Rick Scott had proposed this IVF with HSAs, use the health savings account. This is an infinitely better proposal than what Democrats have been wanting. And Democrats, of course, absolutely blocked it. Nope, they don't want you to have the freedom to use your HSA for IVF. They are obsessed with jacking up everybody's premiums to cover it. That is what this IVF argument is about. ReadyWise. ReadyWise is ready when you're not. ReadyWise is ready when you're ready. ReadyWise is just there waiting quietly in your nice, cool pantry, waiting for you to come and use it if ever the need arises. It's emergency food that's premium emergency food, and they have great deals for you right now. They have the free and fast shipping, obviously, on most orders. You get the 72-hour food kit, buy one, get $100 value for $50, and promo code DANA20 gets you 20% off at checkout. So the buy one, get one, the 72-hour food kit, you got 12 pouches per kit or per box. And you got all your three hot snacks, drinks, over 11,000 calories in each kit. And all the food's made with high quality U.S. ingredients. So you know where your food's coming from. It's packed in a U.S. plant. You know the chain of command for all of it from start to finish. 25-year shelf life, freeze-dried, easy to prepare, just add water or dehydrated. Visit ReadyWise.com. Use promo code DANA20 at checkout for 20% off any regularly priced item. ReadyWise.com, promo code DANA20.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, first up, the U.S. is now suing the ship firms for that Baltimore Bridge crash for $100 million. This is a Dr. Evil number right here. U.S. government has filed a $100 million lawsuit against the owner and operator of a cargo ship that crashed into and destroyed the Baltimore Bridge. It's Synergy and Grace Ocean. They were well aware of issues with the dolly before it lost power and crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge, leading to the deaths of six people. The government said that it cost more than $100 million to clear the estimated 3,000 to 4,000 ton of debris that were caused by the crash and enabled the Port of Baltimore to reopen. And they said that the companies that caused it, they're going to pay, not the American taxpayer. Good. I can't believe that. That came out of the DOJ, and I can actually say that that's a good thing. That came out of the DOJ. 41% of Americans say they are at peak stress right now. Yeah, I believe it. In a year marked by financial worries, political tension, a new survey has uncovered the staggering impact of stress on everyday Americans. The average person says that they feel like their head's spinning from stress a whopping 156 times per year. It's about three times a week. That's a very alarming, statistic. It's peak stress is how it's being defined. An 8-year-old girl in Ohio drove an SUV on a solo Target run. And I just think it's funny that the meta image that comes up for this is Puffy or Diddy, Diddler. An 8-year-old girl took an SUV from Ohio home, drove to Target. It was a Nissan Rogue. She was reported missing around 9 a.m. Sunday. They saw what 8-year-olds? Like, you know what? I'm just going to take the car out.
Do hood rat.
Yeah, she's too young to be charged criminally, but they don't know if they're going to have criminal charges yet. They're still investigating, so I don't know. Illinois man was accused of attempted murder and a peanut butter stabbing. He suffered multiple wounds after a quarrel led to over peanut butter. First degree attempted murder. It was over peanut butter and jelly. That's literally it. Like, specifically what? Like, the crunchy or smooth, the ratio of jelly per peanut butter? Like, what is it? Stick with us. Our partners that help bring you free radio. It is our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And Patriot Mobile exists to not only make sure that you stay connected with friends and family, but also that you have great coverage. They have the best coverage that you can get. Patriot Mobile, they have the best coverage that you can get. You can also get with them, you can get free activation using code Dana. And it's the other cool thing about them is that they have 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They put momentum behind the things that you vote to protect. And it's time to make the switch if you haven't. You're going to get nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You can keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Get a free month when you use offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by pretenders. Go for the real thing. Patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Not able to catch the full Dana Show? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
How concerned are you about the situation in Springfield, Ohio, getting worse? What is DHS doing to prevent that from happening?
So I spoke with the governor yesterday and over the weekend. We were speaking of the resources that the Department of Homeland Security can provide to the city of Springfield. My colleagues in the department have been in touch with the mayor of Springfield. We're concerned about the situation there. Schools have closed. The community is feeling extraordinarily threatened. They've received bomb threats and other threats of violence based on false statements.
Okay, that was just a false statement right there. What literally he just said was that they received bomb threats and threats of violence. That literally never happened. And the governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine, had said, yeah, that didn't happen. They were all fake. In fact, they all came from, it was out of state, but it was like out of the country, right? Yeah, out of the country. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of the second hour here. You can listen coast to coast, Channel 347, DirecTV. Also find us on Rumble. That's where the chat daily happens. And X is where we're at. And Substack, Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. So what he just said, Alejandro Mayorkas, and talking about this whole issue with the illegal immigrants from Haiti in Ohio, that was misinformation. He should go to jail, according to Hillary Clinton. He should go to jail. Federal McPenitentiary. It's where he should go because that was misinformed. Actually, it was a lie. That was a lie because it didn't happen. None of that stuff happened. They made up a story so that they could try to shut everyone up. Like, look, you criticize these people being here illegally and now they're getting this. You're horrible people. Shouldn't you shut up? That didn't happen. You're evil because you're lying to try to shame law-abiding, innocent Americans who are pointing out criminal actions of a group that is not in this country legally. And you're trying to shame the innocent people into shutting up. That is evil and malicious. Ugh. Just wild. And it's, what about the people there? What about the people there that are now wondering about their safety and security? Why is it that the taxpaying American, the innocent American, always comes last? And what is it about when people come and they immigrate legally into the United States and become Americans that suddenly they're ignored, even though they're the demographic that is predominantly most affected by the criminality that goes along with illegal immigration? No, nobody wants to answer that question. Democrats definitely don't want to talk about that. No, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. And there's like forever stories about this. It's, you know, if you would, that right there, they're trying to, it's like they're trying to just, they're trying to justify it. And they've used this to justify everything, including, you know, the second assassination attempt. I had a couple of things here as it pertains to immigration. Like, speaking of, you know, some of the stuff, New York City, they have to crack down on animal sacrifices in Jamaica Bay after they've been finding dog carcasses. I read it was more, way more than one, with a snap neck and I can't even look at the images. I don't want to. And a pig that was found. The images are horrific. I don't even want to look at them. It's like impossible to read the story without, you know, looking at them because they have them in there. Oh, it's so bad. So they're trying to figure out, you know, the animal sacrifices. And this is something, it sounds absurd because, and it's not just, here's the thing. It's not just, you know, with the open southern border. This also has to do with the immigration policy as it pertains to the temporary protected status program that the Biden-Harris administration run. That, as I've said over and over again, is not just about evaluating individuals based upon need or threat of their country of origin. It has to do with entire, like, countries. Let's just go ahead and let a whole country group come over because without any vetting, without any proper paperwork, without knowing who people actually are. And there have been instances, again, that's why they had a whole town hall where they recorded it. They had an entire town hall in Springfield, Ohio, specifically to discuss the problems that have arisen from the temporary protected status program from Biden and Harris and the group of people that it imported here from Haiti who are here illegally. You can sit here and say, well, it's the temporary protected status program all you want to, but that's irrelevant when people did not enter through the correct legal pathway and they don't have any legal documentation. And it's supposed to be what, the honor system? Because Biden and Harris say it's okay, that's supposed to make, I mean, what? I mean, this is crazy. I mean, the Springfield, Ohio thing is real. But see, and it's interesting too, when you look at what, again, go back to Hillary Clinton saying we need to jail people spreading misinformation. Here's an actual real story where you've had hundreds of people come forward, many of them on video, where you have tons of different audio logs of 911 calls and non-emergency calls into police, where they're all talking about this. They're all reporting it. They're all saying the same thing. And you're being told that this doesn't exist because the state is deeming that it doesn't exist. So if the state says that you can be jailed for misinformation, for sharing a completely true story like this, you could be jailed. This is what we're talking about. This is, it's terrifying. The control, it's not a control of speech. It's a control of reality. I mean, the Federalist had phone call after phone call after phone call after phone call after phone. I mean, we could sit here and be playing these clips for you all day. They had people who were hunting geese in the park in Ohio. People rummaging through trash cans, robbing buildings. One guy said that he was at the park with his family and literally watched someone grab a duck. And in fact, I think that's where one of the images came from. Grab a duck and cut its head off. They said that there was the public meeting that they had where they talked. I mean, literally, it's CBS Austin is talking about this. They had a video of it. CBS had video of it. NBC had video of this. They said that there were citizens, including people, Americans who immigrated here legally, who came up and said they felt unsafe. They wanted to live in this town because they thought it was nice. And, you know, they wanted the American. And then they said that now they feel so unsafe because of these homeless people who are here illegally arriving in their neighborhood. Spare a thought for the people who did it the right way. I mean, there was one couple who said that they had to leave their home of 45 years because they had a group of illegally in the country Haitians who squatted in a nearby home. And this is the stuff that we're talking about. And so they're trying to tell you that it's not real. This is what complicates it. And this is why Democrats are fighting so fiercely on this. Where's this? I had this story where it has to do with immigration. Let me put, because I had a survey on immigration where I don't think it's Gallup. Let me pull this up. The majority of Americans actually support deportations. That is a new thing. New poll, new surveys out. The majority actually do back deportations. And this is an issue that Democrats don't know. They don't know how to parry. They do not know how to parry this. What are they going to do? I mean, they need to look like they're tough on the border, but they don't really want to be. And now this, their effort to try to look like they're doing something at the border is backfiring in the face of this story in Ohio, because it's really because this Ohio story does several things at once. Number one, it shows the problem with immigration. And I'm not talking about just the southern border. It also talks about the lawless policies that have been put into place that are dealing with people that are coming in from even not southern border, from elsewhere, which is what really the origin, as I said, of this story in Ohio is from. And then when you have Democrats who are refusing to listen to hundreds of residents who are pleading for help, and that's how it was described by CBS. They are Ohio residents plead for help. And this was at their, they didn't have just one town hall. I know that we said they had a town hall specifically for this. They did have literally one town meeting that was entirely on that topic. And that's because out of all of the other town meetings that they had, so many people were coming forward that they had to designate a special town hall session just for that issue. That's not, according to me, that's according to CBS that just reported it in this article that I'm looking at on my monitor right here. I'll make sure to include it in your prep if you're a subscriber over at Substack Chapter and Verse. So that's the real experience. That's their truth. That's what they're living right now. Now, the issue with this, here it is. It's a Scripps News Ipsos poll. The majority support mass deportation of people who are not here legally. Ooh. Now, this is one where I was looking at the data on this, because you can look at their methodology. And they looked at over 1,000 people. It was 1,027 people. Their margin of error is about a little over 3.5. And these are all registered. The majority of them are registered to vote. Now, this is a vote that looks at the majority of this was, or a significant number of these people were pulled from Arizona. And when they are looking at, you know, what is your top issue in the election, it's literally the economy and immigration for these people. And when they looked at their party affiliation, there's a lot of independents in this. When they looked at their party affiliation, I mean, it's pretty even. I mean, it was, maybe it was probably plus Harris, plus 5 for Harris, maybe, with us. So a little bit oversampled, maybe, for Democrats, which should be even crazier when you consider that the vast majority of these people, and you're looking at 58% of independents, think that people who are not here legally should be deported. So this is an issue. You combine this with Ohio, and Democrats who have been trying to fake people out on moderation at the border are now that's all been blown to hell. All those weeks that they spent building that narrative have been blown to hell. So the only thing that they can do is portray all of these people in Ohio as non-existent. Ignore them and go after the people that are pointing it out or amplifying what the citizens are saying. So if the left can go after the people who are amplifying what the citizens are saying, maybe, just maybe, the independents and the moderates who aren't really paying attention to what folks are saying at their town hall meetings in Springfield, Ohio, maybe then they'll think, oh, well, it's crazy. If they can make into a caricature Trump talking about dogs and cats eating stuff. That's why I don't really like the TikTok video, by the way. All those videos and the songs that they're making of him where they're like, they're eating dogs and cats. You might think that those are funny, but it reduces a real concern to a cartoon level. And I think that that's actually a very smart psyop in order to try to undercut that truth and turn it into nothing but political fodder. That's why I'm not a big fan of them. Because I'm like, wait a minute, I know that people think that these are catchy and cool, but you have people doing dances to this, his remarks remixed into an auto-tuned song. They're saying that it's absurd and they're mocking it. So don't share that thinking that it's like bringing the issue to the forefront. It's actually making it a caricature, and it's a very real problem. That's all that the left has. All they can do is try to make it look like a ridiculous claim, and then they can go back to looking like they're the moderate, smart people on the border. So be careful of some of this stuff. We got a lot more on the way. We've got to Florida Man. My friend Macon Kelly is going to be joining me next hour.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So, oh no. Why did that's no. Mm-mm. We're skipping that one. Because I like how Kane puts something in there and says, good luck with this one. I'm not doing that one.
What?
Let's see. I had the excavator yesterday. Huh?
You're just
going to
skip it, huh?
Yeah, I am. I'm totally going to skip it. This guy was arrested, Florida man, after falling out of a boat and giving a false name to deputies. Okay. Lakeland, Florida. This feller, it was on Sunday, the Polk County Fire Rescue, they responded to a call about two boaters falling into Crystal Lake in Lakeland. Another man jumped in with pool noodles to try to save the two boaters, according to PCSO. Timothy Lanthrop gave a false name to deputies after they were checked out by medics, and they found his true identity through a fingerprint. I want to know what name. See, they didn't give the name. He had six warrants on him. So that's why he was arrested and why he probably gave a fake name, because he had six warrants on him, and yeah, he wasn't going to have that. So he gave false information to deputies, and he was arrested. I wonder what name he gave. Terd Ferguson. T-E-R-D. Terd Ferguson. It's my name. Let's see. Oh, this woman punched a Florida woman punched a girl over a homework mistake. She looks like she was crying in her mugshot. A Florida woman allegedly grabbed a girl by the collar and punched her repeatedly in the face because she had made mistakes on her homework assignment. Margaret Gisome, 35, is accused of repeatedly striking the girl, according to the affidavit. She became upset because the victim was doing her homework wrong after school. The victim's age is not specified. The woman grabbed the victim by her collar, punched her in the face. She had a busted blood vessel in her left eye and a bruise on her left lip. And she said the police said Gisome became upset because the victim was giving wrong. Why don't you help her with her homework? That's not how you help a kid get the right answer, right? That is not how you do that. Not at all. Now, this woman, and this is a North Fort Myers woman, who attacked a man with a machete and chopped part of his thumb off.
Oh.
He's recovering. Lee County Sheriff arrested Sheila King this past Saturday on aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. They said that she internally harmed the man and caused permanent bodily disfigurement. She got mad. Okay, so apparently the guy was a squatter who was living on her property and wasn't doing chores that she... Is it a squatter if you're letting them live there in exchange for doing chores?
No.
Okay, so that was the arrangement. He was living there and he was supposed to be doing chores and he wasn't doing them. So she took a machete and started swinging it around, hit a table and chopped part of his thumb off.
What?
Yeah. So, and she said she told police that he had been squatting for several months and got mad when she... Dalen Martin said he owned the property. She was squatting for several months. She said that he was squatting. So they, regardless, they're having to go to court. She chopped his thumb off. That's like, she looks like a thumb chopping off kind of lady too.
Can't text Indeed to get a job.
Yeah, that's exactly. We have more in store as we move towards our third hour. Don't go anywhere. Stick with us.
I think we first have to wait and see what the House sends us. My only observation about this whole discussion is the one thing you cannot have is a government shutdown. It would be politically beyond stupid for us to do that right before the election, because certainly we'd get the blame. And one of my favorite old sayings is there's no education in the second kick of a mule. We've been here before. I'm for whatever avoids a government shutdown, and that'll ultimately end up, obviously, being a discussion between the Democratic leader and the Speaker of the House as to how to process avoiding government shutdown.
So it's Mitch McConnell talking about the battle over spending. And now all of that's going to be affected by the news coming out of the Federal Reserve just now. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour, Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast, Channel 347, DirecTV as well. And you can also find us on Rumble, where the chat happens, and Substack, Chapter and Verse, all those good places. So apparently the Federal Reserve is going to cut, because they just announced that interest rates, 50 basis points. It's the first rate cut that they've had since 2020. So the new interest rate target is like... for 75% to 5%. And they said that it was 11 in favor, 1 against. So they're going to cut interest rates by 50 basis points. And everyone's, I think that in order to kind of do anything, you needed to go that much. But Kane made a very good point on break. Kane, make your point again on air, please.
Well, it's just weird. We're voting today, and I just saw some stuff out from Massey on the CR, the continuing resolution, which, by the way, continues the level of spending that caused the Fed to raise the rate in the first place because they had to battle inflation thanks to the government spending.
So what is this ultimately, if we're freezing the rate of spending, what is this going to do now?
What's going to happen is people, now the cost of money is going to be cheaper. There's going to be an injection of cash into the market, making the dollar slightly less valuable. And then, of course, the short-term spending bill that we just, you know, we're hearing about, it's got to go through the Senate, I guess. Now, this will actually continue the problem that caused the feds to raise the rate in the first place.
Yay. It's government. So this is really not, you're not going to, the help that they thought this was going to be isn't going to be a help at all. I mean, ultimately. And that's what we're looking at. So they just, I think they already did announce it. Didn't they announce it already?
Yeah, it's already out on. Yeah, they would have had to announce it.
Yeah, it's already out on social. So I think because I know that they were having a press conference about it. And they said that they are projecting more rate cuts this year.
This is their attempt to make the market appear like it's doing well, right?
People
are going to borrow money. They're going to say, oh, look at this. Now people are going to borrow money to take their credit card debt out of that into a separate loan. So then it'll look like credit card debts are going down, guys. This is a game they play all the time.
It's a numbers game. It's a shell game.
It's absolutely a shell game.
Going into the election. I mean, so then I hear, how is this not designed to give optically not a real improvement in the economy, but a talking point for Democrats going into November? Or am I just being completely cynical?
No, this is absolutely to make it look like the economy is doing well. Look, we're doing so well, guys. We're lowering the rate. That's how well we're doing. Well, I'm sorry, but the Fed rate's not tied to the market.
No,
the Fed rate's tied to the amount of spending that the government has forced upon us.
See, this is the thing. Carol Roth was right. There's an economic illiteracy. Everything I will say, the stuff that I learned about the economy, like what you just said with the interest rates and the market. I took an econ class, and my most valuable classes that I took in college were logic and my econ classes. Those are the two, literally the ones that only, those are the only ones that mattered. But you got to get a good econ teacher though. And I had a very good logic teacher. I took a few years of that, and it was my most valuable class. I feel like they need to teach this stuff in high school as well. You don't need to be like a market insider, but you do need to be aware of like what we're just talking about here. At least be aware of their, because you would be surprised at how many people are not. And I will hear from them. I've gotten hate mail before, not hate mail, but people who are kind of like in the middle of the road who listen to the show, and I don't want to shame them, but they'll try to argue with you because they see what the Fed is doing, what the Federal Reserve is doing, and some of these other maneuvers. And they're like, well, that couldn't happen unless this is... my friend, that's so wrong.
Right. And what's so frustrating about it all is how, before the Fed was created, how did our government get permission to spend money? They had to actually go directly to the people, sell bonds. They had to sell them on the idea of what government wanted to spend money on. And then the people who were on board, they would buy the bonds. The people that didn't want to spend money on that wouldn't buy the bonds. And whether or not the government got enough money to do it or not was determined by the permission of the people.
Like a GoFundMe.
Exactly.
We need to go back to that.
But now they spend indiscriminately without permission, always putting it forward to the next generation. Now,
why can't we go back to that?
I don't know why we can't go back to that. I know that Massey would love to.
I want to go back to that. I would do that. See? Think about it. You're not going to get like an EV bond. EV bonds, not gonna be like that at all. Not gonna be like that at all. I don't know. So we're watching this. They said that the central bank also released new projections, and there could be more. This is what the headline is. It depends on the job market future any projected cuts as the job market softens, depending upon that.
Here's what's going to happen, because it happens like this almost every year at this time of year, is you're going to see jobs start to tick upward because people are going to be doing a more retail hiring for this end of the year, this last quarter of the year.
That's how it always is, especially going into the holiday season.
The fourth quarter is always the most money is spent in the fourth quarter. And it's going to look like, wow, look at these jobs, guys. Everything's great. And it's all going to happen right before the election. And it's all smoke and mirrors. It's all BS. I just don't want people falling for it. It's just, it's infuriating. It's kind of depressing.
Incredibly infuriating. I wanted to share this story with you. Completely change gears here. Did you guys hear about the Florida sheriff who is done with it? This is such a great story. So this Florida sheriff in Tallahassee, there was a kid that had, and this is a Volusia County sheriff. There was a kid who had, I guess, made threats about shooting up his school. And he was livid over this. He went in and perp walked the kid, made him public, shamed him and perp walked him. And he had said that, you know, this is accountability. And he said that, you know, I'm going to do this to your kids. He gave an interview and he's like, I'm going to perp walk your kids if that's what it. Audio soundbite 30. Listen to this. This is so great.
What we're going to start doing Monday is, since parents, you don't want to raise your kids, I'm going to start raising them. Every time we make an arrest, your kid's photo is going to be put out there. And if I could do it, I'm going to perp walk your kid so that everybody can see what your kid's up to.
They're perp walking this 11-year-old.
You're going to be walking over here to the gate over here, all right? Slow and steady. What you here for today? We're going to get you here in the building, all right? Follow this deputy here.
Thanks this way, young man.
Wow, they're perp walking him. Got the cameras. The 11-year-old student was arrested and charged as a juvenile. He threatened to shoot up a middle school. We do need more of these type of deterrents. These parents are not doing their job. I had suggested, because I don't have a problem with this at all. I have zero problems with this. In fact, I would go one further, and I think that the responsible parents should be given a pass to beat the ass of the irresponsible parents on top of it. I got to tell you. Parents who don't do, and these kids always are, it's always kids who enable others. I got to say, we had an experience, like this once where there was a youth that had threatened something in their school and the kid was immediately bounced from the school. The school did not play with us. And it was after Parkland when you get these copycat incidents, the school didn't play. They didn't play with us at all. But the parents, immediately reacted like everybody was targeting their kid and it was everybody else's fault that their kid was this way. And that's, I don't know, but like the issue of this, the last kid in school, that's what the family was sort of like suggesting, that it's, you know, this kid was picked. I hate that enabling behavior. Good on this sheriff. This is awesome. Sheriff Chitwood. Because he's like, look, if you're not going to do your job and you're going to enable this, I'm going to do it for you. And he ought to. They said that his department spent $21,000 investigating a multitude of hoax school shootings since September 13th. And they said 54 of them came in less than 24 hours. And that was fewer than 24 hours. That was the, it's usually like the type of copycat stuff. That's why you don't, like, we don't repeat the names of stuff. That's why a lot of people are really weird about that now. Because there have been numerous studies showing that that does inspire copycat events. Absolutely. So the fact that he's doing this, that's a good deterrent. There should be a deterrent there. But, and you can have deterrents all day long, and I think it's great, and I think they need to do this. But these parents need to step up. And here's the thing also. It's not just like parents of kids in poor areas, because not all of these incidents where you have these mass killers are poor kids or kids from, you know, underserved. It is this enabling behavior of the parents. You are not protecting your kids by babying them and excusing their behavior. Sometimes Being a parent is tough as hell. It is hard, and you are constantly second-guessing yourself. Did I go too hard? Did I do this? Did I do that? Because you are helping to shape their character, and they have to understand in the home first that there are deterrents. My kids, I know, would never do that because I had, I mean, Chris and I both are pretty hardcore parents. I don't understand these parents who say, I didn't know my kid had this or I didn't. We knew everything. My mom knew everything I had. She knew what I was doing. You think that you are crafty? Parents are weird, man. The responsible ones know. They just know. It's like you get a feeling like, wait a minute. It feels like somebody's up to no good. You just feel like somebody is, and you got to go check. You know, it's like that sixth sense that you get. I see dead people. You know, I sense shenanigans. You just know. Bad parents are just not paying attention. We all knew bad parents of kids in schools when we were growing up. We all knew that. Like, I went to school with kids who had bad parents who just weren't there. And the kids were bad. And the kids did bad stuff. And the kids grew up to be, you know, adults doing bad stuff. I mean, it's sad. But good on this sheriff. That's awesome. I had one other quick story for you, too, that I was going to get into about these otters. Kane, did you know otters are, like, really vicious?
Yeah, actually, we reported on that story about a year and a half ago, where, remember, a woman got all bit up, like, just crazy?
Okay, well, there was another one.
Oh, boy.
There was a story of this, it's a New York Post story, this river otter. They said, crazed river otter nearly drowns child after dragging them underwater at a marina. This is Washington State. The animal pulled the kid under the water. I didn't know that they look so cute with their little hands. I didn't even know that they were like jerks like this. Did you?
Oh, yeah.
I did not know this.
We see those cuddly little videos where they're just like on their backs and they're cracking.
Yeah, and they got their babies and you're like,
babies.
Oh, look at the mom with her baby. It's so cute. No, they're apparently just giant jerks. I did not know that about the otter. Did not know. So now I know. I'm not going to be one of those people that goes out and tries to pet them.
They're probably protecting a nest or something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, I've got more. I mean, I've literally on my rundown, as you can see, I have a ton of different headlines. It's a segment that says blank these otters.
Right.
It just says blank. It doesn't say anything bad.
And solid advice. Just walk up to a group and
friends. And it's literally all about, I mean, I have story after story, like gangs of wild otters are attacking joggers, ferociously attacking joggers. So be careful out there,
stop
folks.
Jogging.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Holy cow, this is crazy. A UK hospital patient was killed, a vulnerable hospital patient, they said, after he fell through a roof and into an oven.
What?
A vulnerable patient died. He died after he fell through a roof, landed inside of a hospital catering oven. Kettering General in Kettering, England. He absconded from a ward on September 7th. Staff searched the hospital for Smith and found his body inside of a catering oven. An inquest heard he'd fallen through the roof of the catering department and landed inside of the large metal cooker, where he was promptly roasted. That's horrible. The promptly roasted part I added. His age wasn't revealed, but golly, what an ignorant headline. Loner stabs himself to death trying to separate two frozen burgers with a knife. Now, couldn't you just say a guy instead of being like this guy that no one loved? He stabbed himself to death trying to separate two frozen burgers with a knife in a freakish accident that left cops baffled at first. The 57-year-old plunged the blade into his stomach at his home in Wales when he was trying to separate two frozen patties. Be careful, folks. Megyn Kelly joins us next.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm relieved that former President Trump is safe, and I want the American people to know that the men and women of the FBI are working tirelessly to get to the bottom of what happened. Our work is very much ongoing, and we're just a few days into the investigation, so we're limited in what we can say. At this point, what I can say is that we have dedicated the full force of the FBI to this investigation, and that runs the gamut from criminal to national security resources, from tactical support to evidence response teams, from forensic scientists to operational technology personnel, and I could go on. Together,
sounds like a lot of stuff.
We're working around the clock to investigate this.
They got a lot of activities happening right there. That's FBI Director Chris Wray, who's talking about everything that they're doing now after the second time somebody was attempting to take shots at the former president of the United States. Welcome back to the program. Your lovable curmudgeon here with you, Dana Loesch. You can listen coast to coast, Channel 347, DirecTV as well. Rumble, where all of the shenanigans happen, and on X. I've got to talk to my good friend. And I think is this the first or second time we've had her on the show? We need to have her on more often. I think this is the second time. Out of all the women in media, she's the one I love the most. Megyn Kelly, who, as you know, she is the host of her own show. She doesn't really need an introduction. She's on SiriusXM. You can listen to her show. Channel, it's easy to remember. It's 111. So it's just one number you got to remember three times. And you can watch her every day, weekday at noon Eastern. Megyn, so good to have you. I love that you're joining me. It's good to see you.
Thank you for that beautiful intro. I love you too.
Well, thank you. You're very nice. I don't know if people know. I've known Megyn for a really long time. And there are a lot of people in this industry that get real high off their own stash. And I always think that you've been the realest, and you've also been the nicest person that I've met in this industry. And that's why we love you. Aww. So and,
it's funny you're saying that, because I'm watching you getting ready for the show to come back on the air, and you're sort of jamming along to the music. And I'm thinking, this is literally the coolest person I know. There is nobody cooler.
My nose or something. I got to remember that for the future.
No, it's like, you're the kind of person I wish I could be when I like go out and people see me in public, but I am not cool. I've just never mastered cool. You've mastered cool.
Oh my gosh. Now I'm going to have to grease my head to get it out of the door. That's going to be a mess. No, but I appreciate you joining me. Let me get your reaction on this. So we played this sound. This is the second time now somebody's attempted to take a shot at the former president. I'm trying to figure out how a dude in a bright pink shirt, we all saw this guy's, you know, choice of clothing, bright pink, like Lily Pulitzer pink, in the bush for 12 hours. Nobody notices. I mean, I know that, you know, like if my garden gnome by the front door is out of place, like how are you Secret Service and you don't know this?
It's a good point about the color of the shirt. I had not thought of that before. I mean, obviously yesterday when the Secret Service director spoke to this, he intentionally dodged when asked if they had patrolled the perimeter. Like, why didn't you patrol the perimeter, and did you actually patrol this particular area? And he got out of bounds. It's very clear they either didn't, which is my bet, or they did, and they did a crappy job of it. Because obviously the guy was there. And not only did he have the pink shirt on, but he's got the blonde spiky hair. Yeah. He has two backpacks. Oh, and the matter of his weapon. So he would have been tough to miss, I think, because my understanding is that the greenery is on the other side of the fence, on the inside of the fence. But in any event, it's such an obvious porous point from which anybody could try to get Trump that you would understand this is actually an important part to patrol, because the club itself is private. So, you know, you're not thinking one of the members is going to do this. If it's going to be somebody from the outside, this is exactly where they'd come, on the outside facing the highway. So, like, if you have patrol duties, wouldn't this be spot number one? And no matter what, even if there are bushes up against it on the side, that like sort of the outside, of course, as a Secret Service guy, you've got to get in there. You've got to look. You got to make sure nobody's hiding. It's just an obvious fail. This is two perimeter fails. And they continue gaslighting us about what a great job they did. No one takes anything away from the agent that actually found the guy. He's not the problem. The plan is the problem.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, the agent, you know, who saw this guy, saw the rifle apparently poking out, the barrel of the rifle poking out. I mean, good on that agent, because that was a split second reaction, and they neutralized, well, attempted to neutralize that threat. But you bring up a really good point as well. I mean, to not even look at the perimeter. And that brought up the question of, well, what point does someone who's the former president, and I realize it's new territory, the former president who's running again and could be the potential next president, do they get their security kind of like bumped up to the premium package? Like, what's the, I'm just curious about the level of tiers for secret security, like Secret Service security.
Let me tell you what the premium package is. It's Eric Prince. Call him and let him just handle it and get rid of all the Secret Service. I mean, you need somebody who's in the full-time business of security, because these Secret Service agents, while I'm sure the couple who are around Trump all the time really would take a bullet for him, as we've seen, this is a multi-person job. And we don't have a lot of faith in the other tiers around Trump for very good reason. And the Secret Service, you know, they're spread too thin. That's true. That's a problem we know about that could be corrected. And Trump did not get the premium package even after assassination attempt number one. They upped his security for sure, but he doesn't have military assets at his disposal, you know, around wherever he goes, like a sitting president would. And let's face it, you and I both know right now there are more people who want to kill Donald Trump than there are who want to kill Joe Biden.
Yeah.
All Joe Biden's doing is lying in bed or on Rehoboth Beach. He's fine. If ever there were a need to divert a few resources, not all, but a few, from one to the other, if we have to make the choice, now's that time. They didn't do it. And it does make you wonder why the Secret Service has got the head of Ghana, the king of Ghana. He's here for the UN. He's being followed by everybody, the president of Ghana. Okay, great. So that's what our Secret Service is doing. But, you know, the actual possible next president of the United States doesn't have enough people to patrol the perimeter.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to just shrug our shoulders and move forward.
Yeah, I feel like in the case, talking with our friend Megan Kelly, I feel like in the case of Butler County, even if, let's just say they couldn't afford Eric Prince, they could just get some good old boys and they get them out there in the field and they could be like that water tower up there. Maybe get somebody up there, that pitched roof. I mean, these are people who didn't even go through security training are just kind of looking at the obvious, which kind of makes you wonder, is it a level, and there's two ways to look at it. It's either a level of disregard or professional incompetency that's just by itself professional incompetency, or it's maliciousness. And then you kind of have to ask, well, is there a third option that maybe it's just such a level of incompetency that it rises to maliciousness and people are just like, well, if it happens, it happens. I mean, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but they leave this stuff open for all of us to interpret it that way.
Oh, no, you'll laugh because it was getting so bizarre when you started to hear about this guy's tentacles, you know, this second shooter, and meaning second after the guy in Pennsylvania, that, you know, it's like ties to Iran potentially. Yeah. And, you know, the New York Times admitting that its source and finding the guy was an Afghani who was in Iran and was talking with him. It was like, wait, and now Iran has a death threat on him. And we joked on my team, we're all Laura Loomer now, right? she's very prone to conspiracy theories. But it's crazy how much, like how deep this guy's tentacles go. So you'd be nuts not to ask the questions. For me, the real question here is, do we trust the investigators to really run all this down? Do we trust the FBI to pursue every lead? And what if, God forbid, it did lead to something internal? And I don't know about the FBI. We all know that the FBI doesn't love conservatives and it doesn't love Trump. That Miami head of the field office obviously hated him and was forced to scrub his social media. And of course, they've got a history during Russiagate that does not reflect well on them. But the recent reporting is more about the Secret Service. So this gal, Susan Crabtree, she's a reporter for Real Clear Politics. And this is her beat. Secret Service is her beat. She knows everything about them. She was on our show the night that the attempted assassination was unearthed. And she was saying that there is a former top Obama security official said to her that they believe there is someone who has made it into the top ranks of the Secret Service who is an Iranian operative. And that this person is in some sort of a position where they, let me strike that because there's two different people. There's somebody who is an Iranian agent or working in some way for Iran that's made it into the Secret Service. And separate and apart from that, there's someone who applied to work at the Secret Service who failed the counterintelligence piece of the polygraph one must take to make it into the Secret Service, and they hired this person anyway and made this person in charge of who gets certain intelligence credentials. So there have been some real problems at the Secret Service that go well beyond them hiring hookers and then trying to deny it and trying to cover up for the cocaine in the White House and that head Kim Cheadle trying to get rid of the cocaine and not allow it to be really swept thoroughly for DNA once they found a hit. Those are problems, but like this is next level problem. And somebody's got to kick the tires on exactly how secure the Secret Service circles are.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, the cocaine, I think we all kind of know who's booger sugar that is. Talking with our good friend Megan Kelly, for those of you who are listening across the country. You mentioned Russiagate. I got to ask you about Hillary Clinton when she was at this forum and she's talking about arresting people for misinformation. Is she not? Like looking back to 2016, her working with Fusion GPS, that entity that should be in a FARA violation. I mean, they were laundering like discredited Oppo from the Kremlin through the media so that they could get a warrant, a surveillance warrant through improper channels through the FISA court. Would that not make her the queen of disinformation? Wouldn't she be in jail by her own standards?
Lock her up. She should be number one. I'm totally on board with her plan, just as long as she goes first. That sounds great. We'll make just an example out of somebody so everybody really gets the message and we know just where to start. That is insanity. That's absolutely not going to happen. And she knows better, right? So like, what is this? Is it just her perpetuating the lie that there's dangerous misinformation coming from the right that needs to be tamped down? I've never seen a party so in love with censorship. I mean, right. They absolutely want to censor everyone not on their side. Just today, Elon and Gavin Newsom were warring on X about this new law Gavin Newsom just signed trying to crack down on parody in the state of California. He's saying, oh, you can't have AI that sort of is a deep fake. Well, that is too broad a net to cast given our First Amendment. There already is a U.S. Supreme Court case saying parody is totally lawful. But it's this left wing instinct. Anything that's bad must be silenced. We shouldn't be forced to hear it. And anybody who speaks it can be punished, either fired or sued or thrown in prison. These are not American instincts. And those of us who still have our minds about us, our wits about us, must fight back or we're going to start to lose the First Amendment even more than we already have.
And it was so insidious the way that he was pushing that as well, because he was acting as though it was like a protection for actors and voiceover artists in Hollywood. But as you mentioned, that was one part of it. This was the other part of it where, I mean, it's like he's declaring a war on memes. I mean, really, a war on memes and parody.
This will not be upheld. He should enjoy it while he can, because it's not enforceable. The U.S. Supreme Court, this is one of those that could get struck down 9-0. This is a very short shelf life.
Before we let you go, what are you looking forward to in this November? If you had to get out a crystal ball with everything that you've seen now, how would you interpret everything now? How do you think that that's going to hit November? What are we going to wake up to the Wednesday after election?
Oh, my God. I mean, I can't predict who's going to win, but I'll tell you this. I'm pretty certain of this right now. Trump has the electoral advantage, for sure. You'd rather be Trump than Kamala now. I just think he's a stronger candidate. She's a mess. The more she gets out there, the worse she'll do. We already know Trump. His unfavorables are not going to go up. They're where they're
going to
always
stay there.
Going to be. Right. Yeah, hers could still go up and probably will, because she's had just this unprecedented media love affair for the past 2 months. So I'd give him the advantage electorally, but I give her the advantage on the get out the vote effort of Team Blue versus Team Red.
They're
formidable.
So good at that.
Do you even know who's running it on the red side? I don't. I know Charlie Kirk is trying to
help. There's a couple of groups, and they're only doing certain states. I don't even know who's doing it like in all the states. If it's just still RNC, I know they have like a slate of states, and there's another group that have another slate. I don't know how
Trump's
cohesive.
Trump's trying, but Trump's also trying to just win an election in the first place. I just think, given what we've seen in past elections, if you were just saying who's got a better get out the vote effort, you'd have to put it on Team Kamala or you'd be dumb. They have been trying to bank and pressure their voters to bank the mail-in vote. And they put out all those buses going to the old ladies who they've gotten to register, just saying, all I need is for your ballot. Just give me your ballot and they can whatever. Let me get you to the polling station right this way. And you've got actors and actresses who will be at the helm of the bus. And I don't know what Team Red has, but it hasn't done that well. So look, there's still time. And I'd really like to say, like, it's you, it's me, those of us who want sanity to prevail. Like, we're going to have to drive buses. We're going to have to take the day off and do something, because especially if you're in a swing state, you need to tell every single person you know to vote or it's not going to go the right way.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. That has to be. I mean, we were joking about it the other day. Maybe we should just take off that day and just, or at least that morning.
Seriously.
Like, maybe we'll pre-record and then that afternoon just like drive around and make sure everybody like get up people to go and vote and drive them around and make sure it gets done.
But it takes planning. It takes planning. The Republicans don't like mail-in balloting. I get it. I understand why. But what things happen on election day? Your kid gets sick. The weather's bad. Somebody dies. There's like something comes up. Yeah. And it's not just you, it comes up. So it's like banking the mail-in vote. I realize it's somewhat of a risk in Republicans' minds because you never know. But I think it's a smart bet if there's any doubt you can't get there on election day, because that's how they keep winning.
Yeah, they do, and they will unless we do something about it. Megyn Kelly, always so good to see you, my friend. Please give Doug our best. We'd love to see you
Thank
guys
you.
Again. You guys need to come down to Texas. We'll go hog hunting. We'll get some brisket. You know we'll blow some stuff up.
That's
we'll
what Trump needs. He needs Dana and Chris Lash. That's what he needs. He'll be fine. No one will come near him.
No, we'll be there. We'll watch everything. We're a little nuts about it, but that's all right.
Totally believe in you.
Megan, so good to see you. Thanks so much.
Okay, see you soon. Mm-hmm.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
So make sure you go and sign up at Substack too, chapter and verse, all kinds of good stuff up there. I got a post I'm working on as well. I got a couple different things I'm working on. One is not politically related. It's a little fun. Anyway, before I eat up all this time, Canes. Today's stupidity. Go.
All right. This is the green agenda at work, ladies and gentlemen. Look how pure wind turbines are. Juan, cut 28.
Scotland's power sector is coming under fire after it was revealed that officials used massive diesel generators to ensure dozens of giant turbines on wind farms could function.
Oh, that's a shame. Man.
Oh, those look like sky knives. Those are sky knives. They are. They're not wind turbines. It's sky knives. That's actually a great punk band name, like if you're a bunch of airplane pilots. Folks, have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.